Hello, everyone. It is 3:15 p.m. on Thursday, October 16th. And you know what that means? It's time to get our bake on. Just 24 hours before the next episode comes out. Whoops. Listen, life comes at you fast. And yeah, I don't know what to tell you. But this past weekend, we celebrated our daughter's birthday a little bit early. So we were busy all weekend. Get off our back. Bake on bosses. Sorry, you're not on our back.
Is the internet clamoring for more bake on? I don't know that
the
they
whole
are.
Internet. Yeah,
the whole internet.
They all got together and voted and said, "Yeah, we're ready. Yeah, please, we're crumbling under the pressure of you being flaky."
Because it's pastry week.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Shut
That's
up.
Just what they're saying.
Shut
no, listen.
Up.
So it's pastry week.
Yeah.
Can I?
Oh no, the glasses. They're coming off.
Can I unburden?
He's rubbing
my
his
heart.
Eyes.
Can I unburden my heart?
He's rubbing his face.
Can I unburden my heart?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Two-thirds of this episode to me were extremely boring. I can't put my finger on it. I think, while enjoyable to watch, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm hating this. Usually by this point in the series, and I was telling you this the other day, I'm like rooting for people. There's like people that I'm like, oh, you could do it. Come on. I've seen you. You could do it. Pull it together. Right. And there are people who frustrate me in this season and I'm invested in that way. There are people that I'm like, oh, these people are good. Right. And I like I think the stuff they make is good. But there's just nobody I feel connected to.
I have a theory. I think that what we are missing from this season is the push, right? The idea that these bakers are going to show the ends of their limits, right? I mean, Jasmine said it at the beginning. Did she say it at the beginning of this one or last one where she was like, executing simple is really working for me.
She said at the end of the last episode.
Right?
Yeah, simple, done well, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But no one is pushing the envelope. We're not getting any like donut trees or like bubble gum, like soda or candy flavored cheesecakes or like no one is making it.
No one's risking.
They're not risking things. They are doing the things that they know they can do very well. And that's great. But at this point, you hope for someone who is going to like a rising tide lifts all boats. Right.
Yeah.
We need someone to pull up the others so that they want to be like them. Right. And no one's like that this season.
And we'll talk more about it when we get to the showstopper. But I even thought like Tom seemed like he took a big step back in his like design and execution. Or I was like, okay, cool, fine. That's whatever. Right. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
For the signature, and I rewatched this a second time right before we got to it. And listen, I don't want to sound like a broken record and I don't want to sound like, I don't know, sour grapes or whatever. I don't know. But the judging was just so unmemorable, right? Where it's just like, oh, okay, cool, great. There were a couple of like standouts that I think. Aaron, now listeners of this season will know I'm not a huge Aaron fan.
Okay.
But I feel like.
That's one way to put it.
I feel like. Why wasn't that a handshake? Like when Paul's like, it was a little under my, or whatever. It's like.
Well, that's why it wasn't a handshake.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The way he says
What did Toby say? A handy?
A handy. It almost feels like he's like, I need to give you a reason why I'm not going to do it. And it's like, okay, cool.
I think that that's okay. I like it better when
you're
Paul.
You're not hearing me.
No.
You're not hearing me.
You're not hearing me. I think it's okay. His soul wasn't moved. That's what happened. His soul wasn't moved, and so he didn't give a handshake. His soul has to be moved.
Okay, but you're not hearing me. What I felt was that if it had been someone else, he would have given them a handshake for it. And then for some reason, he wasn't giving it to Aaron.
I didn't get that vibe.
See, I got that vibe. And it might be because, like, we've talked about, like, or we talked about it in the previous episode and somebody commented that on another Bake Off podcast that they listened to, they talked about there being some, like, racism undertones. I don't know if that's it. I can't speak to it. That's not my story. So much as it feels more like a dangling carrot to be like, keep going though, right? I don't know. It felt like everything Paul was saying about the thing, except for that. But then he was like, and I'm going to keep a chunk for lunch or whatever.
Do you think that he's made Aaron a project?
I kind of do, maybe.
We see that in a lot of seasons where he finds the one who is really like, he thinks has the potential, if he could just light a fire under them, that they would be like amazing, right? And every once in a while, he picks somebody and they're kind of just like, I don't know, I can't. This isn't for me. Yeah. It's like, all right. But we didn't get any handshakes this episode.
But in positive note, Leslie, one of your faves, had a very good episode.
She had a great episode. I was a little bit underwhelmed with her showstopper, but we can talk about that in a minute.
We'll get to that. Natalia had a roughin. She included garlic butter.
Because it's part of the Chicken Kiev dish.
Absolutely. But when it's just like outside of the puff, right, outside of the pastry, it's got no place to go. And it just ends up being a lot of extra liquid in the thing. So her her plaited savory roll ended up having a lot of liquid pour out.
Yeah. I mean, like when they were moving it from the platter to their dishes, it just fell, like it blopped onto the plate. Some of it, I think, didn't even make it onto the plate. And that just went to show that it was incredibly just wet.
Also, I want to talk about Toby here. Okay. So, first of all, credit where credit is due. Toby talks in both the signature and the showstopper about having practiced.
Yes.
Good job, you, Toby. Tobias, you've done it. You have learned that you're allowed to practice before you do it. But he opts to make a full puff pastry. And this is a prime example of a thing we see on Bake Off a lot. Of like challenging yourself to do more than is required. And the thing about that is, if you execute it to 100% perfection, I think you do score extra points.
Yeah.
When he's like, I'm going to do a full puff. And Paul's like, there's no way you're going to have time for that. There's no way. If he then pulls that off to 100%, Paul's gob will be smacked. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you fail to achieve 100%, you then are dinged the amount. Like, say you get 80%, right? Say it's an 80% completion quality, right? You're dinged that 20%. And then there's like a ethereal, unmeasurable ding of, and for some reason you decided to try to make it harder on yourself than you needed to, and that was a mistake, right?
Like, and I feel like this, the I'm going to do something extra that's not required, and I have a vision, I'm going to really push the boat out. I keep using boats and
that's fine.
Stuff anyway. I feel like I don't think that the two of those things are diametrically opposed, because I think that one of them has to do with realistic expectations about fulfilling the brief, and the other one has to do with inspiration and like innovation. And I think that doing the full puff, especially when you don't have the time to do full puff, like they haven't written that into the challenge, is not part of the innovation and inspiration category.
No, it's just like setting a challenge for yourself that you don't need to instead of like elevating the thing they asked you to make.
Exactly.
Right? So instead of spending the time working on something that you literally do not have the time to do, why not put that effort towards making the best version of the thing they asked you to make?
And so Toby's pastry lost a lot of definition.
Yeah.
Because doing a full puff means you have layers of butter that then can, if not properly chilled, in order for the water in it to come to steam to actually puff the pastry, if it's not properly chilled, the butter will just run out.
Right.
Which is what happened.
And that's the thing. When you're doing a full puff, there's so much resting and chilling as you work on it, and so much lamination that goes into it to get those layers and everything. It was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And Tom, this is where, once again, I think the outcome of, like, that's so Tom, and this is what we've come to expect from you, Tom, is so detrimental, where I think the feedback that he gets is like a B-. Right. And he's like, that is the worst I've ever gotten. Right. And it's like, yeah, you've set him up in his brain of like what we're expecting from you, Tom, is perfection and that you nail it every time. So any negative feedback at this point is going to feel devastating.
When in reality, I think that this feedback was constructive.
Yes.
They were, and this is what they should be doing the whole time, not saying it's so Tom, which we talked about last time being just kind of shorthand in the way of this is at the level or in the same design vein as I have come to expect from you.
Right.
But it doesn't give any constructive feedback. It doesn't help him like think critically about his accomplishment and what he can do to improve. And when he does get that, then he feels really bad.
Well, because here's the thing. I can chart, like, a smarter, more psychologically educated person than me, a person educated in psychology, could perhaps chart, like, Tom's effort and design execution and everything from a point where the feedback he was getting is just like, this is so Tom, and you see him challenging himself less and less, which to me is like, okay, cool. Whether I challenge myself or I do exactly what's asked and no more, I'm getting the same feedback. So why? Like, yeah. I guess this is fine, right? Like, I just feel like for someone who is like in the top two in the tent, it feels like he's doing less each week and not more.
And not to say that Tom can't have a bad day, because every baker can have a bad day. And we've seen it happen. We've seen someone like really, that's what Curse of the Star Baker is kind of about, sure. Right? Which hasn't really happened this season.
Well, there's only been like 3-star bakers.
No, there's been 4.
Jasmine, me, Tom, uh-huh. 2, and Aaron. And
yes.
There's only 6 episodes.
I guess you're right. But they could still have, you could have a Curse of the Star Baker anytime.
No,
it's
I
just
know.
Once you have it in one episode, the next episode is supposed to be, yes, your curse. But like, I think that, where was I going with that after you told me about,
oh, that Star when Baker? You tell them that you're so great and then they feel the pressure the next episode?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
I said I wasn't invested in people, but I'm starting to get invested in Tom. Based off of one thing,
uh-huh,
or a pattern of one thing, I guess, he seems the most invested in other people's success.
Oh.
And there was a moment that stood out for me on the second watch of this episode where at the end of the showstopper and Toby's thing is kind of leaning and Tom seems sincerely, not for camera, I don't even know if he knows the camera's pointed at him because it's far back, sincerely invested
and concerned
concerned in what's about to happen. And you see him multiple times in this episode too. He like calls over to Leslie to tell her how good her showstopper is looking. And I realize like there's multiple occasions throughout this season where you see Tom talking to other people and saying, that looks great, you're doing great, everything's gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe that's the other issue when I talk about not being invested with people. I think they all like each other.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the, like, these two are best friends. Every time this person gets in trouble, this person's there to help them. I see a lot of positive interaction between these three or whatever.
Yeah.
They haven't been shown, and I'm not saying it's not happening, but they haven't been putting that in the edit.
Yeah, edit. Oh, man, edit.
It reminds me of last year, I think it was last season, where at the very end, like, they mentioned, like, that this one of the Bakers had, like, a really great friendship with one of the cameramen.
Yeah.
And it was like, what?
Was it Jill?
Maybe. And it was like, what are you talking? Show that ever.
Yeah.
In the whole season. What are you talking about? And it's like that kind of thing of like, show us more of that humanizing thing that then I'm like, I really want this person. I like them. They seem good. Yeah. Right.
I think that sometimes I feel like the editors / producers have gotten a little lost in the sauce in the way of, the reason that we watch Bake Off is to watch these people support each other and do a good job.
Yes.
It is not because the challenges are super interesting or they've made it impossible or whatever, right? The way that we want to come to it is we want to root for these people and we want to have the kind of fantasy that this could be us and we could be this awesome.
And I think maybe that's why I found the feedback section of Signature this week so like meh, of like none of it felt particularly individualized.
No, I disagree. I think Leslie's was highly individualized because she said specifically that she was doing a recipe from Paul's book.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
And that she was going to tweak it and improve it, and then Prue and Paul right away we're like, these gooseberries, a revelation. This was great. Even Paul was like, you made my recipe better.
Maybe I was speaking hyperbolically. It wasn't okay. None of it. Okay. But I feel like out of six of them, or however many are left, seven? Yeah. I felt like five of them, the feedback seemed interchangeable, right? Of like, underdone.
Underworked,
or,
overworked.
Yeah, right? Like, it was like, okay, cool. Who cares? But I wanted to give you a moment here to speak on how you felt about these being platted roles.
Yes. In my experience, a plait consists of continuous strands. Okay. And what they were doing was they were interweaving, not even really interweaving some of them. They were just weaving the sides of the pastries over top. They were not plaiting in the traditional sense of continuous strands all the way down.
Yeah.
Although Toby did plait a few of his sections and then weave it over top.
It seemed more like they were just kind of laying it on top of each other and then moving to the next section, laying that on top of each other. Yeah.
Yes. Not even pulling the ends through like you might for a lattice or something. And so where was that feedback?
Yeah.
Where was this expectation of plaited rolls, sausage rolls or whatever, that they suddenly said to them all, oh, no, don't worry about actually like braiding it or whatever.
That's usually where we get whenever they talk about plaits and stuff. That's usually where so much of the feedback comes and Paul's a real stickler for it or whatever. And we got very little discussion about the design. It was mostly about, is the pastry like laminated, worked over or whatever, and the flavors.
Yeah.
And nothing about the way that it, like the design of it.
They liked Tom's design.
Yeah.
But because there was the tear, I think that kind of overshadowed the critique. And that's really all that got talked about. But I really think that it looked really great as like a dragon tail, right? Or fish tail or something.
I think it was supposed to be a shrimp tail or like some kind of fish.
Fish tail.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Right.
So the technical was gala pie.
Gala.
Gala. A gala. So I watched the whole thing and then we paused before judging and you showed me Lottie from a previous season making.
And a lot of the bakers, Peter has also been doing this. I think Peter's been doing it this year. He did last year where he went, episode by episode as they released and did the technicals, and Lottie is doing that again this year. And Boise, she has a lot of opinions about this pie. And I think that she really she did what a lot of the bakers also did, and it did not really turn out for her.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Well, it's a lot of liquid and it's... they talk about, like, you need to leave enough, like, holes and stuff for the steam and for the whatever to the liquid to mm-hmm. be able to escape.
Or else you're going to end up with a soggy bottom or a pie that falls apart.
And pees all over the place when you cut it open. I also found this, and once again, I can't stress enough, I'm sure the producers of Great British Bake Off are listening. When I say that I think this technical was boring, I don't mean, oh, it wasn't an interesting enough challenge or whatever. I mean, you didn't cut it together in a way that felt engaging to me. So much it was like, yeah, here's all these individual people making this thing. And then Paul and Prue eat it. And it's like, okay, cool. None of this felt specific to these people, specific to this dish. It just felt like, it was just a kind of swirl.
And you're not asking for drama. You're not asking for getting to see their foibles or whatever.
No.
You're just asking for a better edit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just felt like, okay, cool. You jump so quickly from person to person and shot to shot that at times I didn't even know who was talking or how they felt about the thing they were making.
Mm.
Right? Like, I think that's it, right? Where when we watched Lottie's TikTok of it, you really saw so much of her personality come through.
Yeah.
As she talked about the thing she was making.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that with the bakers in the tent? Because usually one of the things in technical that they show a lot is like when there's something in there that they're not used to doing, they like put the camera on them and let them talk about, this is so weird. I've never, what
like
is this?
Like the hot water crust.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
That, was it the Natalia had never made it, I think? But we would have liked to see that.
Yeah. Give me more time with each of them talking about how they feel about the technical they're making. Right? Like, for example, back in the school episode,
mm-hmm.
when they were talking about making sprinkles and that kind of stuff, there were specific moments in there. And, like, it just felt like such a weird, like, technical edit. Where I felt like they jumped around so much that I was like, I don't know whose this is. I don't know who did well, who did well. I don't care. Right?
Yeah. Let me ask you something, though. While we were watching it the other day, you were talking about how you are starting to feel really good about Allison and Noel.
This is true.
Is this the point in the episode where that stood out to you? Do you recall? Because it could be maybe we got to see too much of them and not enough of the bakers.
I think it might have been here in the technical. Well, I know that they had fun with the well-sculpted tart. And we'll talk about that in a
definitely.
Second.
Definitely.
But I feel like they have reached a level. There's something about their vibe together that is reminiscent to me of Mel and Sue.
Yes.
Of the, like, it's hour eight of like a 12-hour shoot or whatever, and we're kind of getting slap happy with each other, and we're comfortable enough with each other that, like, we're kind of laughing at each other even when we're not really making a joke.
That is the thing about Mel and Sue. The reason why we like to watch them is because they are trying to make each other laugh.
Yes.
And I think that that is starting to happen with Noel and Allison. And they don't have to, like, rely on the big setups of, like, the Jurassic Park thing or whatever. Because that's fun, but it's not why we like them together.
And I always felt like with Matt Lucas and Noel, it was like, we've worked out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is worked out and planned, right? And we're going to perform. We're performing.
Yeah. And then with Sandy and Noel, I felt like it was kind of like the clown and the straight man.
Yeah, it felt like two different presenters of, like, two different programs.
Which, again, I think that that can work for a lot of things. The clown and the straight man does work but it's not what we wanted for this show.
You know what has just hit me?
What?
One of the things that we have not seen this episode, and it's going to sound like I'm, like, wishing for this. It's not. But I do think it's indicative. Emotional moments where someone gets frustrated with a thing that's not working, and like they get comforted by the hosts and other people, and they're like crying. Now, obviously, I'm not saying they need to cry for me to feel anything. Mm-hmm. I'm saying like that level of investment from the bakers, where when something goes wrong, they're like, it's internalized that kind of way.
I mean, I feel like we've gotten some of that from Aaron this season. Like, I feel maybe not in this episode, although when part of his showstopper broke, he did like, or it was like part of his showstopper wasn't working and he had to start over and like threw stuff in the bin, but then it cut away. Like, we didn't get that.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it's happening, I don't know about it. Right. And because I was about to make a comment of, I think the thing that we're still missing that we used to have with Mel and Sue a lot is they would joke until somebody really needed like their two aunts to come in and be like, oh, no, wait, don't worry about this. Oh, look at us. We're here for you. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That we haven't seen. But then I was thinking about this season. I'm like, when have we seen someone so emotionally invested in success in Great British Bake Off that their like emotions start bubbling out when something goes wrong?
Poiman. I feel like there were instances when she was, and it was kind of her MO where she would like the first day would be in the trash can and then she would pull it out for the showstopper, yeah. Right? We saw that a couple times, I think.
Yeah. And by the time she left, I felt invested in her.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's kind of the thing is right now, what they have failed to show me is the baker's investment in Bake Off that makes me invest in them.
Mm.
Right. And there's just some kind of feeling right now where it's just like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I had a good day. I had a bad day. I'll come in tomorrow. I'll do this thing. Right. And not like I'm going to cry because this bake went bad. Right. And once again, I'm not saying if they're not crying, I'm not enjoying it. I'm just saying like, there's something that seems very surface level or very pulled back this season where I'm like, I don't know. How bad do any of these people want it?
Mm.
Come on.
Okay, so let's go through the ranking.
Okay, so technical. Aaron was seventh. Had a bad one.
Didn't ventilate properly. And did he end up with a pocket?
I thought his was all Paul said was like the crust was very thin. And apparently everything else was bad about it.
Oh, okay.
Tom got sixth. When Tom joked about he just wanted to do better in technical than Toby, I was like, yeah, you didn't. Natalia got fifth. Toby got fourth. Right there in the middle. Toby, fourth. Toby and Tom, I feel like, who's in fourth place? One of those two. Leslie got third. Ian got second. Jasmine got first.
And we saw a little confessional of her talking about how the last thing she did before she put it in the oven was add extra vent holes.
Yep, nailed it.
I think that was a great choice.
Okay, so Showstopper, I do think this is the first point in this episode where I'm like, okay, finally, individualized stuff to talk about.
Okay
great. Okay. Now I can go through and be like, let's talk about each one by one.
All right.
So Aaron did a tart that was like themed after when he and his friends used to move one of the friends' mom's garden gnomes around and not tell her.
And the first thing that I saw when I saw his his illustration was a bridge. And I was like, did we learn nothing?
Aaron, no.
No more bridges. And it turned out that the bridge went okay, but one of the trees or whatever was not. And I mentioned earlier that at one point, while he was cutting out for the pastry shapes, he said that it didn't feel right and something he about an egg.
That he had put an egg in it and hadn't before or something, and it was too soft.
Yeah, so he had to remake those, and that was kind of a tough moment, but we would have loved to see a little more about that. And his showstopper, I mean, they liked it, except for the jasmine.
Yeah.
He put some drops of jasmine in it to give it a kind
of
floral.
Drops
of Jupiter. No, floral note. And gosh, man. Paul can sniff out an essence or
that
an
fool,
extract from a mile away.
He hates artificially flavors kind of thing. And it's also, I've also learned at this point, and I don't actually fault this because it makes me feel very smart, but when the show, when there's like a voiceover and like, and they've chosen to put some drops of the extract in the thing, and I'm like, oh no, this is going to go bad. They wouldn't have brought it up if it went well. Oh no.
Yeah, Paul really hates that. I get the feeling that Prue doesn't quite mind as long as it's like good, but he, man, it's as if he has some kind of like radar for it.
I get the vibe overall that she cares more about design and like plating and execution of the thing, and her flavor palette isn't as, I don't want to say refined, I just mean like as particular. Mm. Where she's like, I thought it worked. This is great.
Yeah,
right?
She has a little wider, I think, of a range of flavors that she enjoys, or at least that she's not hypercritical of.
Yeah, I think that Paul is a little more particular.
Yeah.
And like likes to be seen where he's like, a little more than, oh, just a dash of this, right? Like that he takes the flavor very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then design is kind of secondary to him, where I think it's the other way around for Prue. That said, they also didn't do a lot of close-ups of Aaron's thing, right? Where I'm like, I can't tell how clean, like, the details are or anything, but I think it looked okay.
Yeah, I think it looked fine.
Ian did Giant's Causeway.
And they did do a lot of close-up of his.
I think this is another example of, like, him being inspired by an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, really putting that into practice and doing a great job with it.
They mentioned at the beginning about his kind of like style of painting the food, and he did that and he really pulled it out. I think that was great.
Like an example though where they're talking about this is what you are good at and then told him what that was, where they were like your design, your detail in the painting of the thing. And it's like they're giving him the actual feedback of like, when you do this, it is good and we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm like, yes, do that for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to get to that with Tom in a second. But we get a rare bit of feedback from Prue here. He put too much booze in it.
Yeah.
There's too much whiskey in it. And I will say I've made boozy whipped cream before, and I think that that is an area because whipped cream, and in this case it's chantilly cream, but is such a light and delicate flavor already that you get that like the alcohol burn more than the flavor. You get that like the alcohol part more than the flavor of the alcohol.
Yes.
And you're like, oh yeah, this is kind of boozy.
Yeah, which is a delicate balance, really. Yeah. And he put too much in.
He put too much in.
I don't know.
Jasmine's looked stunning, right? It's so good. And as Paul said, it could be in a patisserie, right? Also, there were a couple of them. Jasmine's and Tom's spring to mind immediately, where they just like lift off the whole pastry on top and it's like fully secure. I'm like, whoa.
They made almost a pastry lid that they built upon. Which I think was very smart.
But hers was a chocolate frangipane. And because it was a frangipane, saying it makes me feel like a Midwest mom. You know, frangipane.
I mean, it's an almond meal tart.
But it was dry. They were like, ooh, needed like a layer of something on the bottom. It was just like pears.
Or more pears, Paul said later. It either needed more pears or it needed some kind of like jelly or sauce or something.
But I want to put a pin in this for our minds in a moment. We'll talk about this later. Of when you looked at hers, right, the finished product, you would be like, oh, as Paul says, a professional made this, right? That this is like a finished product, right? Like an artist made this.
Mm-hmm.
Pin in that.
Okay.
So, Leslie. So you wanted to talk about Leslie's.
Yes. So the brief was a structured tart, right? And I feel like everyone else made a structure, right? They made a tree, made a bridge, made a swan, made a connect four game, where Leslie really just kind of made tarts and stacked them and decorated them.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't ding her for this.
It reminded me a little bit of the chocolate, the fondue one, where it's just like, oh, this looks good, mm-hmm. but structurally, it's not functional.
Right.
Right. I don't think she's an engineer, right?
Yeah.
Well, not that they asked them to be, but I think Tom is an engineer, you know? And I think Leslie is like, I don't know, look good, right?
Yeah. So I don't agree with her interpretation of the brief. I think that that's not what I picture when I think about structured. I think that is just stacked.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. She had lots of little elements, which I think are great, but all had to do with the pastry and had to do with her her kind of like bee honey thing.
I think to your point, you could have walked over to Leslie's and one by one removed elements without taking it apart, quote unquote, and
yeah.
had three kind of like tarts stacked up. Right. As opposed to like the swan that Natalia made,
mm-hmm.
where it's like the whole thing is this.
Yes.
Right. But Leslie's was like, I made three tarts and then I kind of put stuff on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha. Speaking of, Natalia made a swan that I think looked great.
Yes.
Flavor and bake and stuff.
They were not blown away.
Not great.
Yeah. Prue didn't like how much the raspberry kind of took over. Did she use an essence as well?
She did. She was the other one.
And then Paul said that the pastry is not right. It was tough. It was thick. It was not right. Overworked, I think he said.
I want to jump to Tom and then come back to Toby.
Okay.
So Tom made a Connect Four game.
Which they call four in a row over there.
Well, separated by common language. Am I right, guys? And I think the execution of it was great. I really liked the color he was able to achieve. I think red in the baked elements we see a lot where it gets baked and you get kind of a brown quality to it.
Yeah, it was very, very red.
But it was
true red.
Very red. It was great. And when they like cut into it from the side and you could see like the red pastry and like the fruit and the like, it looked perfect. Mm-hmm. The fruit and the custard. And but this is what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Is when they're doing the like presentation of the designs before the bake, and they're like, yeah, my design's gonna be like this. Paul says, like, and you know, this is what we expect, like, this is what you're good at. And Tom says, what am I good at?
Ah, yeah, he did say that.
And then Paul's just like, baking. And to me, it was a moment of kind of the way that he says it and the like tone, the delivery, the emphasis. Really strikes me as kind of a kidding on the square of what am I good? What about the things that I make is that you like? Could you please tell me? Could you please, like, what are the things you think I'm good at? I really need to hear right now the things that I'm good at.
He is asking for the constructive feedback.
Yes.
He is asking for like
specifics. Of, like, the thing we like about you is that you have a precision finish and all of your things, or the architecture of your design, there's a fun to it, there's like these things of like, it feels complete, it feels, you know, fully fleshed out, the designs, whatever.
Yeah.
Is he's like, I don't know, because I would say if you compare his biscuit like house, you know, the cottage,
mm-hmm.
which was week two, to his Connect Four game in week six, it looks like a step back in design.
I disagree, because I think that the cottage was realism, and I think that the four in a row is kind of like a brutalism starkness.
I guess. It just didn't feel as intricate. And
you're
like,
right. Yes, it did not feel as intricate or like specifically designed.
Now, I do think it's important to note, it's playable.
Yes. So that means that every little hole had a peg. So, like,
and you could drop down in. So it was like kind of open in there. So
yeah.
That in and of itself is amazing. So I don't want to say like he was lazy or whatever. But when we're talking about like pushing yourself and extend it and going more, right? Like, I think with that absence of specifics and like even the positive feedback of like, yes, move more in this direction. Mm-hmm. We like when you move in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just like this. He just keeps putting it up and saying like, tell me about this. And they're like, it's great. Just it's as like, good as ever.
It's like someone who has a pretty good innate sense of direction asking for a map.
Yeah.
Like being like, hey, I can kind of muddle my way through this, but please, I would like some finite.
Here's what it is. It's to extend that metaphor. It's when someone's driving and like they have a navigator and they're like, what's the next thing I do? And the navigator says, just keep driving and I'll tell you when to do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, but let me know what the next thing is.
Now.
So I can be like planning on it. And it's like, well, don't worry about it. I'll let you know when you need to do something. And it's like, okay, now I'm just sitting here wondering what's the thing I'm going to need to do. Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree. Yep. So we are both good at extended metaphor.
Yeah, we are, baby. Up top. Reach over the desk. Okay.
Reach you.
So, Toby.
Yes.
He's talking about practicing. He's done it in practice. He's prepared it. And then he's like, wait, it's 4 hours? Oh, no. And he thought he had 4.5 hours because yeah. Toby can't not sabotage himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tobias. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
One, I want to point out his finished thing. They really like the flavors. They really like the pastry. All of the feedback was great, except that like the roller coaster thing he made was a little like leaning, right? There's something about it, and I can't quite put it into words because I am not like an art critic. But to go back to that pin I put in Jasmine, and even to include Natalia Swan in there, it feels like if this, for an example, was like a gingerbread house competition, that these are in two different, like, this is like the professional bakers.
Weight classes almost.
Yeah, this is the professional bakers competition. And here's just the fun ones that some of the other people put in, right? Where it's like, oh, yeah, he made this tall roller coaster thing that has like the lattice thing on the side. That's great. But as far as like, cool, man.
I think it's about impact. It had very little impact, I think. Because Jasmine's design was equally simple. It was a 2D made 3D, right? Because they were interlocking trees. But the impact wasn't there.
Well, here's the thing, right? If you look at Toby's, it was basically three elements. You had the tart. You had like a little doghouse with a goat in it. And you had this big old roller coaster in the back. Right?
It wasn't quite that big. It was tall.
Like a triangular-shaped roller coaster. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, the only thing really there that was like, and this took a lot of time, was the roller coaster thing. So, without one of three elements, it's a nothing. It's nothing. Right? Except the tart and a little doghouse. And so, I look at that, and I'm like, could you maybe have had this thing and had more stuff to it, right? And there wasn't even color,
yeah,
right? It was all just plain pastry.
Yeah.
So it just didn't look finished. It reminds me of the chocolate thing where it was like rectangle, a square, a circular thing. And it was like, there's no specificity. There's no detail. There's no intricacy in this thing.
Yeah.
But the judging on it was really good.
Yeah.
When we got to the discussion of who was in trouble.
Okay.
I could not believe that Toby wasn't in that conversation.
Oh, yeah?
That they shoehorned Tom in there.
I mean, because Tom had a first day that was unlike what they have seen from him before. It was not the caliber that he had shown in other challenges. And I think that that's unfair, but it was noticeable.
I think it was BS is what it was, is I think they wanted to make it seem like, oh, anybody could go, oh, no. But like his caliber of thing aside, the feedback he got was like, Toby's feedback on his signature was bad.
Oh, because the cranberries, right?
And like, because he had the trying to do the faux puff and it wasn't good. And Paul was like, I couldn't see myself eating it. It's bland. And like, I don't want any more of it. And like,
yeah.
And Tom's was like, and Toby's was like, right?
But I think that that is kind of like the like confirmation bias, right? Where Toby has been kind of like all the way up or all the way down so much that they kind of expect that from him.
Yeah.
Where Tom
it's like
has,
a roller coaster.
Where Tom has been up so much that when he slips a little bit, it's like, oh no, kind of thing.
I think, yeah, you're right. It just sucks.
I like that they mentioned Leslie in the running for Star Baker. I think she's a real dark horse. I like her a lot.
I think that that is an indication of like, ooh, upward momentum.
Yeah.
Right.
And the let's say it. The Star Baker was Jasmine.
Yeah.
Which
makes complete sense.
Yeah.
That's three for her. And like looking at this episode, though, once again, it's kind of the thing we've talked about before. Here's my feeling on it right now. Because out of six episodes, three of the Star Bakers has been Jasmine. Two of them have been Tom. And it kind of feels like Jasmine operates at the same level of specificity and consistency and quality and skill. And I don't want to take away from any of that. She's good at that. She operates at the same level. Tom has a little bit of more of a waveform of it.
Okay.
Where if he's above the line, she's a straight line, right? If he's on a week where he's above the line, he gets Star Baker. If he's on a week where he's below the line, Jasmine probably gets Star Baker. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like, that's kind of what it feels like to me. Of it's not the two of them like duking it out to see who gets Star Baker. It's more like Jasmine's going to stay right here. And it's just like, is Tom off this week?
And I would really love to see Jasmine put, like, I have this kind of like, this feel of like if they were stacking hands, right? And you're trying to be the hand on top. I would really like to see Jasmine really fight to be on top.
Yes. Right now, I'm trying to remember, oh, it's in fantasy football.
Oh, okay.
But I think that this concept is in a lot of things where you talk about like the floor and the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
right? Of like the floor is like, yeah, they're not going to go lower than this, right? You can be comfortable that this person, their floor is not low, right? But then their ceiling is how high they can go, how mm-hmm. good they could do.
Yeah.
And right now, I feel like her floor is so high.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we've never seen her be like, absolutely beef.
We've seen her waver in the technical occasionally.
Sure. But I mean, like, there's never been like, wow, that was really off. She's had
like,
a terrible week.
Don't eat that, Mary.
Right. But I have no idea what her ceiling is.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've seen her push herself to a point where it's like, this could go bad.
Yeah. Okay. I want to move on.
Natalia goes home.
And I think that this is actually the best way to go. I've talked about this in other seasons of Bake On. She met the end of her expertise.
Yes.
Right? There was no kind of like big misstep. It was just a little things throughout this episode that were not as good as everyone else. And she met the end of her expertise.
And it's a shame because she's very cute. And
yes.
I like her. And I'm sad that she's gone.
She has a great energy.
She does. She seems so happy. There's a moment where Paul's giving her feedback on the signature. And it's like negative. And she's like, okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And he's just like still talking. She's like, thank you. Thank you. As if to say, yeah, I get it. Yeah, we can stop. Yeah, I get it. You didn't like it. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, but she was constantly kind of like whooping and singing and like
happy.
Shrugging happy kind of way. And I feel like she definitely cared, right? She worked very hard. But it comes a point in competition where you're doing all you can do. And if that's all you can do and that's not as good as everyone else, you get eliminated.
All right. We need to wrap up.
Yes.
So do all the stuff I always tell you to do. Tell people about the show. Go on my Instagram when I put the episode artwork up. Thank you all so much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
And Teresa, until next week, What should people do?
Bake through.